As you know, we started a few quarters back partnering with University of Tennessee Center for Business Economic Research to take a look at the data that we collect in our Division of Business Services. And we have determined, you know, thanks to the great work of Dr. Fox and his team, you know, these are in fact leading, the information we have are leading indicators of the state of Tennessee's economy. And of course, Dr. Fox will elaborate more on some of the details of this quarter's report, but it does show that we continue to see success in our filings. The new entity filings increased 9.3% in the first quarter of 2015 compared to 2014. And similarly, our annual reports grew 3.3% over that same time period. And why that's important is business entity filings and annual reports don't always exactly correlate. Somebody may file to start a corporation, but never actually follow through and never conduct any business with that organization and just let it lapse. So, but with that said, Dr. Fox, I would certainly turn it over to you to dig much more into the report, and then we'll open up to questions.
Mr. Secretary, thank you very much. I think the report is a continuation of really good news for Tennessee. What we see is this 9.3% increase in new filings, heavily led in terms of numbers by creation of domestic Tennessee-based LLCs, a lot of not-for-profits from a growth rate perspective as well. So really, really good growth rates. And what we find is that these new filings lead other things that we care a lot about. They're good leading indicators of employment, of personal income, and of tax revenues. And so seeing this strong growth rate says that 2015 will continue to be a very good year for Tennessee. The five largest counties in Tennessee account for just under half of these new filings in Tennessee. But it's important to note that the growth rate is, in fact, much higher for places outside these five counties, suggesting some dispersion of this job creation and startup of businesses across Tennessee. In terms of other data, we also see that personal income for Tennessee rose 4.2% in the most recent quarter. When we remember that inflation rates last year were under 2%, and this year are likely to be negative, having personal income growth of over 4% also says the economy continues to perform very well. One final comment, and then obviously we're happy to answer questions, is tax revenue performance has been very strong as a result of good economic growth. And what we've seen so far this year is the best revenue growth that we've seen in several decades in Tennessee. And so again, the data we're seeing from the Secretary of State's office indicating very good creation of new companies is leading and concurrent with a lot of broad economic indicators in Tennessee indicating a very good economic growth rate.
Thank you, Dr. Fox. We have any questions for Dr. Fox? Was everyone able to access the link to the report?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just got it. We didn't really have much time to analyze it to prepare a lot of questions.
Okay.
But I've got a few.
Okay. Well, feel free.
Volkswagen is talking very heavily, of course, about unionization, Dr. Fox. And it's still kind of up in the air how that's going to shake down because of the top leadership has recently had a shakeup. But in your estimation, should they go ahead and unionize, what do you predict? I know you hate predictions, but what would you predict in the next 3 to 5 years would happen to the state's economy? Because a lot of businesses have opened because of Volkswagen.
Right. Well, we've been working with Volkswagen on issues associated with their plant expansion. I think next week there will likely be a press conference for the results of our analysis with VW. And we continue to think that VW has had and will continue to have excellent effects on Tennessee's economy. The plant expansion that they're constructing right now will add significant number of jobs at the facility. But the thing about automobile plants is that there are such large connections with the rest of the economy because of suppliers. And so, you know, we believe VW is a really important and rapidly growing part of the state. We have not looked at the issue of unionization and how that plays into it, but certainly Volkswagen has you know, created a lot of employment as a result of these supplier linkages. You know, obviously,
well, absolutely, of course,
at the facility, but it's huge. But we have not looked beyond as to what would happen associated with any unionization.
But you are aware of their past history in the United States closing a plant years ago.
I am. Yeah, that happened back in the I think in the 70s and 80s. I was just coming out of school, in fact, in those early days. But you know what's happened here, of course, is, and I let me just note, this is consistent with automobile plants in Tennessee generally, that when they have come with announcements, in fact, we've had much better economic performance than the initial announcements from the firms. This would apply to Nissan. It would apply to the GM kind of activity there, and also now with VW, with you know, the actual outcome being much better than the initial indications. And so, you know, we remain very optimistic with VW, and as I said, have worked closely with them and had many discussions as recently as yesterday on what's taking place at their facility.
Oh, I think we're all thrilled that they built the plant. There's no denying that. That's definitely been an economic leader for our state, especially over here in East Tennessee.
Yeah, and indeed, if you look at employment growth on a year-over-year basis for Tennessee, we're now seeing job growth about 2% on a year-over-year basis. Very good employment growth, by the way, when population's growing more like 1%.
Right.
And much of that employment growth is in durable manufacturing of goods with a life of at least 3 years. And so just reiterating this point, that manufacturing, particularly the heavier manufacturing, has been an important source of this recovery in Tennessee over the last half dozen years, and it's going to continue into the foreseeable future.
Thank you, Dr. Fox. We have any other questions regarding the report?
Yes, I have one.
Go ahead.
My name is Milt Capps with VentureTennessee.com and VentureNashville.com.
Thank you, Milt.
Hi. I guess this is a forward-looking question and posed mainly to Dr. Fox, but Secretary Hargett also. The state has pursued a number of innovative policies and programs, and by innovative, I mean not being done very often in other states, including the using federal funds for the INSIGHT program, using tax credits for the Teninvesco program. And I'm wondering if all of that, which is about capital formation and capital flows, plus all the new trends in the e-economy, economic commerce, trying to, you know, figure out tax protocols for businesses that have no physical presence in Tennessee, does any of that, or does all of it together, present any new challenges for you in your role assessing the economy on a current basis, and then in forecasting and possibly providing guidance on policy?
Wow. Well, let me sort of respond generally to that issue. We have spent a lot of our time here in the Center for Business and Economic Research thinking about e-commerce. I wrote my first academic article on it in 1997 to put this in perspective, and so we've been thinking about it for a long time. And you know, technology changes in the U.S. and in Tennessee have clearly shifted the way in which businesses operate. And some of that, of course, is the way we buy things. But a lot of that is simply how the processes of business itself. And that's created, I think, some clear challenges in terms of what we need from the labor force. And so one of the most important responses in Tennessee has been a recognition that with all this technology that e-commerce represents a part of, has come the need for a really well-educated labor force. And so things like Tennessee Promise are the state's response to make sure that we are ready for this much more labor-intensive economy. And so I think we've made the right kind of steps and are continuing to do that. Governor Haslam has put a real focus on making sure that the labor force 10 years from now is markedly better than the labor force today with the education. And so again, technology has changed the way the economy operates. It's influenced the ability to create jobs and changed what we need in terms of a labor force. And Tennessee, I think, is making exactly the right steps to be ready for and adjust with this rapidly changing economy.
Well, Dr. Fox, I would echo a lot of what you said. The Drive to 55 initiative that the Haslam administration has undertaken, I think, speaks to the commitment they've made and hopefully one that would carry beyond his term in office, is understanding we have to have a highly educated workforce capable of meeting the needs. Moshe, you also asked a question about forecasting. You know, of course, as you watch the essentially state boundaries are not what they used to be, and even our country's boundaries are not what they used to be, there's a really interesting article that's put out by LexisNexis, and they have what's called their StateNet Journal they put out every week, and I think it was in last week's edition, if not the week before. There's a really insightful article just talking about the difficulty of forecasting like states have done in the past.
Well, are you considering how you might organize differently and resource differently this, to allow you to look farther over the horizon, maybe creating some sort of innovation group within your economic unit or... just strengthening our ability to try to at least guess better about the future.
Dr. Fox, you have any thoughts about that?
Well, again, in terms of our research center here, as I noted, we began looking at this issue in the mid-90s, and we continue to do so. In fact, we wrote a report right around 1990 talking about the role of technology in the the changing role of technology in the economy. We were anticipating it then. We continue to anticipate it. Now, there are, as the Secretary just noted, some real challenges. It is a more volatile economy, and tax revenues, for example, are much more volatile than they were in the past. And this is not unique to Tennessee. It's true everywhere. And forecasting in a volatile environment is difficult. I'll be honest about that. Trying to anticipate what the technologies will look like, in the next 6 or 8 years, I mean, I'm not sure Microsoft knows. And we recognize that what we're doing is not trying to know what all those technologies are as a state, but instead trying to be ready by making sure we have a labor force that can deal with whatever the technologies are of the day. Because what we all know is they're going to be different 10 years from now from what they are today.
Question.
This is Dave Flusser in Chattanooga. For the entity filings, is that akin to businesses, number of businesses operating? And are those just startups when you talk about new filings, or would those be existing businesses that refile or businesses that operate in other states that come into the state?
It could be some of both. I mean, you have LLCs, LLPs, and corporations that are required to file with us. And so in some, when we talk about new entity filings, those are entities that have not been formed here before who have now chosen to form in Tennessee. Now, some of them, it could be a startup, frankly, who starts to form and then 6 months later realizes that we're not going to stay in business. Those things can kind of wash out. That's why you see the annual reports growth kind of dials that back to where you see that only grew by 3.3%, where the new entity filings shows at 9.3%. So it's going to typically be a little lag there, but you're never going to see annual reports grow faster, typically the new entity filings.
Is that disparity between those being formed and the total number? There's obviously some churn, people coming in, going out. Is that changing over time? Are we moving more toward a small business, diverse economy with more startups or more businesses, people working at smaller companies, or Dr. Fox, or is that, in a historical sense, is this kind of disparity and between the total number and the number of starts about common? And then also, if you could put in perspective on a historical sense, is this an all-time high, the first quarter numbers for new filings, or was it higher before the recession?
So a couple of reactions there, Dave. First of all, you always expect to have more existing businesses than you do startups. Obviously, the startups are the addition to the number of existing firms. What we are seeing is record levels of initial filings. Within the report, Figure 3 shows you the history since 2004, and the initial filings are much higher than at any point in the last 15 years or so that we're illustrating in that chart. And so really fast growth rates. What happens, of course, in both good and bad economies is you have firms that are starting up and you have firms that are leaving. What's really, so there's always a lot of churn, but in relatively good economic environments like this one is where you get unusually high numbers of startups, a lot of optimism, access to resources, expectation of demand, and so you get a lot of business startups. But the fact that they're at record levels does speak very good news about where Tennessee is.
Dr. Fox, Chambers Williams from the New Sentinel. Do you have any kind of breakdown on this new entity filings on how many of those might be technology related?
We do not have anything that allows us to talk about what's technology related, Chambers. But let me note there, and I kind of suggested this before, one of the things that we've observed about technology all along is that while the emphasis tends often to be on technology companies, the more important impact of technology is how it influences the way everyday businesses do their job. And so, making the distinction of those sort of those firms that focus on technology, I think does exclude an awful lot of the importance of technology to the Tennessee and the U.S. economies.
Okay. Any further questions?
This is Scott Harrison with the Business Journal in Nashville. Notice that the Davidson County filings, about 1,500 new filings, that's about, looks like one in five new filings in the state. Do you guys have context or numbers as to that ratio or percentage in Davidson County vis-a-vis the state going back further? Is it that one in five range?
I wouldn't be able to. This is Secretary Hart. I wouldn't be able to give you that. Frankly, we only began really digging down, analyzing this data about four quarters ago.
Okay.
And so I just really wouldn't have a longer context for you.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Fox may turn around and say, "Oh, Trey, I've got that right here." I don't believe we have that.
I don't have that in my back pocket. We might be able to put something together a little bit more, but
we're going to chat again next week, right? Didn't you say you had something else coming out next week?
I think there's going to be a VW, possibly a VW press conference next week.
Well, you'll be in on that one, won't you?
Yes. But I think it's important to recognize while Davidson County is a big share of the state's totals, the growth rates have been very strong outside Davidson County as well. And so we are seeing some diversity to where the economic growth is taking place in Tennessee. And indeed, the highest growth rates are outside of the five biggest counties. And so, I think it's good to see that Tennessee growing not just in the core counties and major cities.
Is that due to the Rural Development Corporation, you think?
Well, we haven't studied causality for it. Certainly a lot of it is that while I just made the distinction about big cities, when a city like Nashville and I don't mean just the government unit, but that area grows fast, it benefits those in a much broader geographic area. People who are suppliers, people who are providing services for people who actually work in Davidson County and so forth. Just using Nashville as one example of that, and so you do get diversity just by having the cities grow fast. And as we noted before, technology does alter the way in which business can be done, and that also opens up some new opportunities for the less urban areas.
Well, maybe in the future that's something, because you're just sort of starting this out. This is kind of new. And maybe in the future you can gravitate towards some of those areas.
Right. We'll continue to develop the report and, of course, learn from the analysis of the report on a quarter-by-quarter basis.
Is there any comparison of filing rates per capita in Tennessee with other states? Do you have a sense about how Tennessee compares with these patterns with the nation as a whole or other states?
We have not analyzed this with other states. You know, what's important to recognize here is what Secretary Hargett is doing in leading this report is providing a source of data that's simply not available in most places, to my knowledge. Mr. Secretary, you can disagree with me if I'm wrong, but I think it's relatively unique for states to undertake analysis of this important data, and so that makes it therefore hard for us to do comparisons.
There are a couple of other states who are doing something similar, but there are a couple of other states, but I don't know of any past those two. Well, guys, thank you for your time and courtesy. Dr. Fox, thank you for your thorough analysis. And certainly, if there are things we can give you as members of the media to help you in your work, please feel free to contact us in between these reports as well. And certainly, we'll try and have the link up earlier so that could be of assistance next time.
Appreciate that.
All right. Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thank you.